one of the important questions for us to ask in our prayer and when we come to Mass each weekend is, who is this God that we come here to worship? You know, I think sometimes we just go through the motions of showing up at church and then we leave. But I think it's an important question to ask. Who is this God and why is he worthy of our praise and our honor and our adoration? Why do we come here and kneel before him and worship him? Today's readings give us insight into the nature of God and in particular his greatest attribute. When Christ appeared to St. Faustina, he revealed to her that his greatest attribute is that of his mercy. And today's readings speak to that. I think this is very different than our common experience with people. You know, if we gossip about someone or we spread lies about someone behind their back and they find out about it, what do we expect is going to happen? Well, we expect they're going to be furious. They're going to be angry when they find out about that. You know, if a child lies to his parents, when his parents find out, he expects that they're going to be angry. You know, we expect that when we sin against others or they sin against us, you know, we expect that there's going to be anger or there's going to be resentment. Or sometimes people harbor resentment or grudges for a long time. You know, they'll brood over injuries that they've received. Sometimes they go passive aggressive and get back at the person in different ways. You know, but we kind of expect that in our human relationships. But God is not like that at all. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't seek to get even. And in fact, before any of us ever repented, you know, given the sins that we've committed, and all of us have committed, you know, a litany of sins against our Lord, but before any of us have ever repented from any of those, God took the first step. He sent his Son into the world to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, our Lord, when he looks at us, he sees the depths of our souls. He sees us on a deeper level than anyone else sees us. And yes, he sees all the sin that we've committed and will ever commit. He sees all of that. But he also sees the goodness that he created in each one of us and the heights to which he created us to rise to. He sees what we could one day be if we're perfected by grace. So yeah, he sees the ugliness, he sees the sin, but he also sees the goodness within us, and he loves us unconditionally. We hear in the Old Testament a number of times that God is slow to anger and rich in mercy. You know, sometimes he does punish us, but he punishes us as a father out of love to correct our behavior, and he punishes us to establish justice. But he's quick to forgive incredible amounts of guilt when we simply turn to him with repentance, when we turn away from our sin, when we come before him humbly and confess our wrongdoing and invoke his mercy. It's incredible the amount that he's willing to forgive. You know, someone who's cursed the Lord's name 1,000 times, or someone who's skipped Sunday Mass for 50 years, or someone who's committed adultery again and again and again, we can simply turn back to the Lord with repentance in our hearts in the sacrament of confession, confess our sins, and the eternal punishment is washed away. Not that it disappears, but that Christ took it upon himself. He took the punishment that we deserved. That's the mercy of God. So who is this God that we come here to worship? We come here to worship a God of mercy. A God whose mercy is deeper than anything we've experienced in this world. Since we live in a society where so many people have abandoned the faith, and this is across all different religions. People are abandoning the practice of religion in huge numbers. There's a lot of people that simply reject religion altogether. You know, they hate God or they hate the church and they're not going to listen to any of it. But there's other people who have lived lives of sin who are in despair. They don't believe that God can forgive them for what they've done. They look back at their lives and say, you know, I've committed all these horrible sins. There's no way I could ever turn back to the Lord. There's a lot of people that are in that situation. And I think our readings today speak to them when Christ leaves the 99 sheep. He leaves the entire flock and he goes after the one sheep who's gone astray until he finds it. And he says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. I think it's important when we encounter those people to offer that offering of mercy. That our Lord doesn't want to punish his children and condemn them for all eternity. He wants them to repent. How much greater is it that one of his children turned back from death to life? How much greater is that than for him to simply punish them for their wrongdoings? It's a much greater act for our Lord to show his mercy than to show his justice. And so I think it's important for us to be looking for those people who are out there who don't feel like they can be forgiven and bring the message of mercy to them. You know, we have up until the very moment of our death to repent. After death, there's no repentance because once we move from time to eternity, all of our decisions become eternal. So there's no repentance after death on our part. But right up until the very moment of death, there's incredible graces available and we can turn back to the Lord. Last weekend, we celebrated the canonization of Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta. And what she would do with the Missionaries of Charity, which is the order that she founded, in each one of their chapels, they would have fairly simple chapels, but they would have the tabernacle, they would have a crucifix, and then right up on the wall, she would put one of the seven last words of Jesus Christ. She would put the words, "I thirst," that Christ spoke from the cross. And what Christ was talking about when he said that was not simply his physical thirst. Of course, he was physically thirsty. You know, he had gone, you know, all night without any food, and he had been, you know, walked the whole road to Calvary carrying the cross. He'd been hanging on the cross for hours. His tongue was swollen. Of course, he was thirsty physically. But what was more than his physical thirst was his thirst for each one of our souls. His thirst to win back souls to himself. You know, that's the thirst that Mother Teresa wanted every one of her sisters to be meditating on as they would do a holy hour each day. You know, the gospel is first and foremost not about us trying to find God. The gospel is first and foremost about God reaching out and trying to win us back to him. You know, our efforts to come to God are usually pretty pathetic compared to the extent that God goes to win us back to him. You know, so often we're lukewarm and, you know, we'll just come through the motions. Yeah, I guess I have to go to Mass today, so I'll show up. Or sometimes we don't even bother to show up compared to the love of Christ who descends all the way from heaven to offer his life for us on this altar. You know, the gospel message is one of a God who is thirsting for each one of us. And so perhaps something that we can take into our prayer and our meditation this week is the question, who is this God that we serve? And to look first and foremost at those two simple lines that Mother Teresa had her sisters meditate upon every day. The simple words, "I thirst." And to meditate upon the longing that God has for each and every human being and for us in particular. And to meditate upon the way that God sees us, a gaze that penetrates so deeply within us that, yes, he sees all of our sins and all of the evil and all of the baggage we bring, but he also sees the goodness and the perfection that he created us for. And he is a God who desires not to punish us, but a God who desires above all to show us mercy and to heal us.